The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him
in custody.
Your suspicion was that he was radical left, and now you have more information.
I don't want to go too far. I'd like to tell you some stories at how it happened, but essentially somebody that was very close to him turned him in. And that happens when you had some of those good shots. Somebody is going to say, whether it's a parent or whatever, I'd rather not say right now. They're going to announce it today, sometime later, probably talk about that. But somebody close to him turned him in. You know, they said, whoa, it's interesting. We had very good pictures, but not great, not perfect. And when you look at it, what happened is somebody, and this happens a lot. It happened with the crazy Boston bomber. It happened with others. Somebody that's close recognizes even a little tilt of the head, which nobody else would do. And somebody that was very close to him said, that's him.
So, Mr. President, there is the death penalty in Utah.
Yes.
And I do know this is going to be a federal case. And there's many of us believe that Charlie was targeted because of his political ideology.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to this guy?
Well, I hope he's going to be found guilty, I would imagine. And I hope he gets the death penalty.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI. Investigators reviewed additional video footage from UVU surveillance and identified Robinson arriving on UVU campus in a gray Dodge Challenger at approximately 8:29 a.m. on September 10th. In which he is observed on video in a plain maroon t-shirt, light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and light-colored shoes. When encountered in person by investigators in Washington County on September 12th, in the early morning hours, Robinson was observed in consistent clothing with those surveillance images. Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate.
The FBI and our partners are proud to stand here today together to bring justice to the family of Charlie Kirk and honor his memory. I want to express my deep gratitude to President Trump, the Vice President, and the entire White House, who have been so incredibly supportive with both resources and just personally to the FBI as a team. They had our backs the entire way, and I just want to express my gratitude for giving us the resources we need to operate in this space to bring this sort of justice at this sort of speed. In 33 hours, we have made historic progress for Charlie. To my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch.
There you have the breaking news from earlier today. The assassin has been caught, thanks to some family members that turned him in. And so there you have a little bit too much of backslapping going on for my taste. But at least there's a little bit more information than what the Biden people released regarding Thomas Crooks. I mean, that just was erased instantly. Now, hopefully, we'll find out more. You know, for the governor, by the way, to make it sound like it's just open shut, you know, case closed. This is, as we've covered on the show this week, this problem is so much bigger than just even one assassin. At least we know it was politically motivated. Generally, that gets swept under the rug. And we know, if your eyes are open, we know who's inciting this. Because it's been nonstop. Nazis, fascist, Hitler. We'll get to all that and more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for today's show, the last show of the week. Hard to believe Friday is upon us. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. So I think the Babylon Bee had it best. That's the satire site. Democrats condemn violence they incited. I mean, one of the casings on an unused bullet that this assassin had said fascist. He was going after the fascists. They hated Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was the one that was spreading hate, so they had to kill him. They had to assassinate him. And they tried to do the same thing last year with Donald Trump. And we played a clip for you the other day. I think it was Jesse Waters who just went right down the list. All of these cases of violence, politically motivated violence. How do you address that problem? That, I mean, at its core, that's really a spiritual problem. We'll get to that as we proceed. Well, maybe I can jump right into it. This is from the Morning Brief. Joel Hilliker. One demented man shot Charlie, but a great many people cheered his murder. If you needed more evidence of how much the left has given themselves over to the influence of the devil, well, here it is. And he goes on and lists all of these people that are happy about this. I mean, even the guy that was asking the question right before Charlie Kirk was murdered, he was in tears, showing some remorse, saying, come on, he's a human being. But for so many other people, they're gloating. They're ecstatic. They're excited. They're happy. Social media blew up with disgusting messages of people celebrating. Plenty of individuals posted, but video also surfaced of college classrooms and newsrooms cheering. Classrooms and newsrooms cheering. I mean, this murderer, just from the initial scrolling this morning from our news gatherers, seems like he came from a fairly functional, decent family. But then look at all of the other influences in society, at the university. I mean, young people go off to university campuses today and they're indoctrinated in so many cases. There's a few exceptions. There's some conservative teachers, I suppose. But most of the most prominent professors are Marxists. And these young people are just fed a steady diet of propaganda. Now, whatever the influences were, and you have to look at the media as well. You have to look at prominent Democrat politicians as well. Offenders have included teachers, firefighters, and elected officials. The Hill collected stories of people who have had to be fired over the vitriol they posted. The House floor erupted in protest when Speaker Mike Johnson called for a moment of silence for Kirk. We touched on that the other day. Yeah, they can't even agree on that. In fact, this was Mike Johnson on with Jesse Waters the other night, clip 14.
So, Speaker, I mean, there was an opportunity to have a prayer on the House floor today. It didn't even happen. There was just yelling and screaming. I mean, what's this country come to?
It was a sad day on Capitol Hill. It was, Jesse. The mood in Congress today was something unlike I haven't seen since that shooting that involved the congressional members on the baseball field that Ron DeSantis was just referring to. I mean, a really somber mood and hard to describe, really. I led the chamber in a moment of prayer and quiet reflection, which is the custom in the House. And then a motion was made on the floor to have a vocal prayer, and it turned into an argument. You know, that's where our politics are in the country right now.
That's exactly right. And how do you address that? That kind of division and strife. In the Morning Brief, it says here, the demonization of conservative views, equating basic sound biblical views with Nazism and genocide, has become epidemic because the left dominates our culture. They propagandize our young people within academia and brainwash the public through media. Satan has grabbed the megaphone and is using it. I mean, this is the root cause. Somehow, some way, this young man that murdered Charlie Kirk, he opened his mind up to the devil's influence. And in the end was no doubt possessed. And we're actually starting to see more articles coming out these days about demon possession, about demonic activity. I'll get to that a little bit later as well. But in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." God says, "Woe unto them that would turn things upside down." Where do you suppose this young man, what influences affected him to carve fascist into those bullet casings? Well, listen to Kamala Harris when she was running for president last year, clip 12.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
They all do. They were all saying it in unison, shouting from the rooftops, using bullhorns. They told us it was the end of democracy. They told us Trump was Hitler. And now they're murdering people. And this is not a matter of case closed, let's move on and come together. I mean, I'm just talking about it as an observer, knowing that both sides, they're pitching in their heels. I mean, they're digging in. Catching one murderer is not going to solve this epidemic of crime and hatred, and it's not going to remove the spirit of murder, as I covered earlier this week. It's everywhere. Listen to these Democrats claiming, even following this horrific murder on Wednesday, but here they are. These people have no shame. They incite murder, literally. And then they rush to the microphone and say, hey, now let's lower the rhetoric. Let's lower the temperature here. This is no ounce of remorse, of no ounce of humility, as I covered yesterday. Just arrogance and pride and hatred. This is clip 8.
There's exploitation going on of his death. And it's happening on the right, and it's absolutely disgraceful.
Coming together is what we ought to be doing, not pointing fingers of blame.
They keep saying it was politically motivated, but how do we know if they don't even know who the shooter was? Like, at least with Melissa Hortman and other instances, we know the guy was a Trump supporter. We know he was a right-wing crazy. In this case, we have no idea. It could be a left-winger, could be a right-winger, could be someone mentally ill. Who knows?
They are quick to make the assumption of who the shooters are.
Yes.
While we sit there and, you know, try to talk about, you know, solutions, try to talk about, you know, the family.
Gun control. But nobody wants to talk about gun control.
You know, have a rational conversation. They want to point the finger because to them, they don't really care about the life that is lost. It's about who I can demonize.
Yes.
And that demonization is what leads to lives being taken. And I want them to realize that they can't continue to set the fires that end up consuming them and cry about it.
So let's be serious about where this violence is coming from. Of extremist violent attacks in America, extremist violence, violent murders, 76% are from right-wing extremists, 4% are from left-wing extremists. I condemn that 4%. But we also need to be honest about, as a nation, about where this violence is coming from. And oh, by the way, it's probably an appropriate time to talk about guns, too.
With all these terrible things happening, you would think that our president will at least make an attempt to bring us together. But He didn't. President Obama did. President Biden did. Presidents Bush and Clinton did. President Trump did not. Instead, he blamed Democrats for their rhetoric.
I think our country and our leaders have to take a long look at what's going on right now and make a lot of changes in how they're talking to people. There are some, you know, people who are much more into this very intense rhetoric than others. They're going to have to look at it. I'm not going to name names right now, but there are clearly that is going on.
This is a moment of incredible tension for this country. And it strikes me that particularly on the right, there's been a skepticism about this idea of foreign influence and even this word disinformation. I was surprised to hear it uttered at this press conference, but it must be so serious that it was raised.
What is really troubling to me is that we are beginning to normalize this. And I think that this is a time, rather than people choosing sides, we need to take the side of saying this political violence has to stop. Whatever we need to do, we need to do.
When Donald Trump calls the media the enemy of the state, when Donald Trump says horribly disgusting, depraved, and denigrating language to describe people that are just of a different political ideology of his, that contributes to the environment that we find ourselves in, which is exceptionally and horribly toxic. And before you come at me saying that I contribute to it, I'm a truth teller. So when I call out people for their incompetence, for their stupidity, and for their roles in making this country less than what it should be, less than what we deserve as Americans for this country to be, I am doing nothing but being a truth teller. So before anybody jumps to conclusions, why not take a beat and chill and calm down and allow law enforcement to be able to do their jobs?
You know, people like Jesse Waters, they don't give a about Charlie Kirk. They don't give a about what happened to Charlie Kirk. They certainly don't give a about Charlie Kirk's family. They care about monopolizing this moment and using it to energize their base and their viewers, and they don't really care what harm they cause in doing so.
You know, wars have specific meanings. When you say we're in a war after someone has been shot, it's really an invitation to other people to commit acts of violence. And that's a despicable thing.
Will worship on full display. These people that worship their own opinions. A Democrat, a leftist, murders one of the more popular conservative commentators in the country. And these people are out for, they're out for more conservatives. They keep inciting it. Not an ounce of remorse or humility. No repentance. It's just will worship. And you know, as Mr. Hilliker said in the trumpet brief this morning, this is more than a political divide. I'll play you the other side here in just a second. It's a spiritual war that we're witnessing. And it's been going on for years. And sadly, it's going to escalate. It's going to get even worse. That's what your Bible says, and we've gone through that this week already. But there is a real spirit world. And it, as I covered yesterday, I mean, there really is a connection here to Mystery of the Ages. I'll get to that a little bit later. But we've talked so much about these anniversaries this week. You've got Mystery of the Ages. You've got the beautiful campus. You've got the college education that we promote, God's church. And then you've got these horrific acts of violence like 9/11 or an assassination. Spiritual war. There was a spiritual war over Mystery of the Ages. So we know a thing or two about spiritual violence. And now we're just seeing all of these horrible acts of violence in our physical realm. Well, the spirit of the devil is strong. It's as strong as it's ever been. And people that are opening their minds up to the devil's influence, they end up doing things they probably never could have imagined doing or even thinking about. Maybe just a few years ago. Here's a young kid off to university, and he turns into a killer. I'm not saying it's all the university. But listen, you've got people running for president out there saying that Donald Trump is a fascist dictator, a Nazi, Adolf Hitler. And now they're rushing to the mic saying, hey, you Republicans, you better watch your rhetoric. No shame whatsoever. When the Babylon Bee is spot on, then you know this is an upside down world. And you listen to that montage. Anytime a news person has to say they're a truth teller twice, you know they're a propagandist. That's the surest sign that what we're dealing with here is nonstop propaganda. That's right. I'm going to carve fascist on this bullet casing and go kill a fascist. Because Charlie Kirk is dangerous. Charlie Kirk is spreading hate. They're lying. And even after the horrific tragedy, they continue. That is will worship. Colossians 2:23. They are worshiping their own will, worshiping their own opinions. And many on the right now are beginning to wake up to the fact. See, they're going after Jesse because Jesse said the other day, this is war. They're killing us. And you've got quite a few others now saying we're not going to put up with it anymore. We're not going to deny what's happening anymore. And really, there was some of that, I think, in the news conference this morning coming from the governor of Utah. And he's a Republican. I think he's a rhino pretty much. But hey, let's just all come together now. Let's heal over this. But this is not just a political divide. This is spiritual war. And it's causing human beings to grab a rifle and to go out and kill their fellow human beings, their fellow Americans. There's a lot of people responsible for the incitement, but the biggest cause of all is the devil himself. And all of this will worship that we see, and people calling evil good and people calling good evil. That's why we need God's truth. That's why we need God's standard. That's why we need the Holy Bible. Listen to this. This is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, Nick Fiatis. I guess he has a podcast of some kind, clip 7.
So this is what I said yesterday. And I waited on this because I waited on this. I prayed on it. And I was like, no, I believe this is true. So this is what I said. I said, I am told that as a state representative, this is the moment where I'm supposed to express my heartfelt condolences and then stand in solidarity with those on the other side of the aisle as we condemn political violence and stand unified as one people. But we aren't one people, are we? The truth is we haven't been for some time now, and there is really no point in pretending anymore if there ever was. We are two very different peoples. We may occupy the same piece of geography, but that is where the similarities seem to abruptly end. I don't think they realize it yet, but murdering Charlie is going to be remembered as the day where we finally woke up to what this fight really is. It is not a civil dispute among fellow countrymen. It's a war between diametrically opposed worldviews which cannot peacefully coexist with one another. One side will win and one side will lose. I don't want to stand in solidarity with the other side of the aisle. I want to defeat you. I want to defeat the godless ideology that kills babies in the womb, sterilizes confused children, turns our cities into cesspools of degeneracy and lawlessness, and then murdered Charlie Kirk.
We had an article, the Trumpet Brief, that I put out last night. Charlie Kirk's murder shows America approaching civil war. And you see it. I mean, here's a conservative saying that you can't meet in the middle with these guys. They hate us. They want to murder us. They're hearing constantly that we're fascists, that we're Nazis. And so they think they're doing God a service. They reason, well, if we take Hitler out, we'll save the country. This is where we are. I mean, those leftist commentators, on one point, they're right. This is an incredibly tense moment. They're right about that. But instead of humility, instead of repentance, it's let's ramp it up. Let's accuse the Republicans of the dangerous rhetoric. How about that for the funny man to get up there last night and say, you know what, Barack Obama, he's trying to bring the country together. He sends out one little tweet And Obama now, in their minds, he's trying to heal the country. They just ignore years and years of stirring up hatred and strife and a murderous spirit. They're all on tape. They've all been videotaped saying it. And they've got their soldiers, their foot soldiers, that are willing to go down to Palm Beach or Butler, Pennsylvania, or a small town in Utah and murder conservatives. And then don't worry, you get people in nice suits in Congress saying that the overwhelming majority of domestic violence, it's right-wing conservatives. I mean, they couldn't even help themselves with the headlines following Kirk's assassination. Far-right, conservative right, right-wing. If a Democrat is ever murdered, and let's hope it doesn't happen, they're not going to put far-left in the title. Never. There's a message. There's an agenda. And it's just like Mr. Hilliker says in the trumpet brief this morning. They're identifying anything of conservative value. That's to be labeled as, well, it's fascist. The demonization of conservative views. I'll read it again. Equating basic, sound, biblical views with Nazism and genocide. I mean, you see the same spirit targeting little Israel. And speaking of Israel, Bibi sees this evil for what it is. But how, in what world can Hamas go in and murder 1,200 Jews and the Jews turn out to be the bad guy? And Hamas, the innocent victim? That's the spirit behind what we're seeing. And it's leading to, as we wrote last night, it's leading to civil war. The Epistles of Peter, I've given you this quote three times this week. God is going to take mankind to the point where people will know there's no hope in man, and they're willing to heed God's word, the Bible. We've got to look to the Bible. We've got to look to the Bible. And if we do, then we'll see. This is a spiritual war for sure. Over at Tablet, after the shooting at a Catholic school mass in Minneapolis made headlines around the world, the word demonic was deployed in several quarters to describe the senseless horror. It's one of those words like senseless and horror that people understandably reach for in the face of incomprehensible evil. Why are they reaching for this word? For many, it wasn't just a figure of speech. In America, a lot of people, maybe an increasing number of people, believe in actual demons. And it gives some percentages here. Well, if we believe it, if we believe there's all kinds of demonic activity, you should step away from that for a second or step back and consider why. Why is there demonic activity? Why do demons exist? And if demons exist, does God exist? And if God exists, what is he doing? Is he stronger, more powerful than demons? And if so, why doesn't he stop this demonic activity? Well, he will. He will. The plan, the purpose of God, it's laid out in this book that we've been talking about this week, Mystery of the Ages. This is going to be one of the number one textbooks of tomorrow's world. Mr. Armstrong envisioned this being a textbook for Ambassador College, and that lasted all of 2 years because of a great spiritual war. But this book, I mean, it's got new life. And it applies to today more than it did in 1985. And it's going to be used throughout the world tomorrow. And you look at chapter 2 about the mystery of angels and evil spirits. Tells you everything you need to know. It explains why this world is the way it is. If you don't have a copy, now's your opportunity. 1-866-930-3024 and request Mystery of the Ages today. There are scriptural grounds for Christians to view the world as a battleground for spiritual warfare. Okay, this is getting interesting. This imagery appears in a letter attributed to the Apostle Paul written to the early Christian community in Ephesus. Paul entreats the Ephesians to put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the craftiness of the devil. It's Ephesians 6. Well, and while you're at it, let's study Ephesians 2. And while you're at that, let's go into 2 Corinthians 4. And then from there, maybe we can spin over to Revelation 12 and see where John says that the whole world is deceived. There is a spiritual war going on. And God's people understand how that war ends. And we know that the world is getting worse and worse. Evil is growing because of this spirit world, because of demonic activity. And all the more so because Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth. And Revelation 12 says they're confined. They're confined to this earth. You look at, as I've said before, you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he just went from one place to the next. And I mean, he was encountering demonic activity everywhere he went. It was especially bad in places like Samaria. And that's what Simon Magus came out from. And you read Acts 8 and you see that he had bewitched the whole population there. I mean, that's heavy, heavy demonic influence. And Simon Magus, I mean, he fancied himself as a great religious being. And he went off and established a great religious movement. And it's all fake, isn't it? It's not God's true religion. Jesus didn't show up 2,000 years ago and say, you know, which church should I join here? Which denomination has the truth? He came as a light into this world, and men loved darkness. That's what it says in John 3. Men crucified him. They destroyed him. They blotted him out. Well, physically. But we know in that sacrifice, it was a tremendous victory, the greatest victory ever for God's plan and purpose. And that plan is unfolding according to a 7,000-year plan that God has laid out. And we're getting very close to the final years of the first 6,000 years. And God's kingdom is coming, and a millennium is about to spread over the earth, a millennial utopia. That's awesome to think about. You can see why Christ said, look, lift your eyes up and consider what God is doing. We need to, especially during these dark and violent times where there's just so much will worship, human beings just worshiping their opinions and not even considering what God has to say. I mean, congratulations to Tablet here for at least going there. The gospel according to Matthew describes Jesus being taken into a wilderness to be tested by the devil, where Jesus chases him away with the word of the scriptures. That was Jesus Christ's defense, the word of God. And you know, before that, I might add, he fasted and prayed for 40 days. That was how he prepared for the Titanic battle of the ages. And you know, Mr. Armstrong has a lot to say about that Titanic battle in this book, Mystery of the Ages. You can see why Satan went after it right away, straight away. He wanted to blot this out. God didn't let it happen. Spiritual war, as I say, we're somewhat familiar with that. And then years later, after they said they had a Christian duty to keep that out of print, we went and fought for it. We had to. And they tried to intimidate us into surrendering, and we wouldn't do it. We said, no, thank you. We'll fight this through all the way to the end. And somehow, some way, we're gonna obtain all of these works. And we're going to expose you as evildoers, corrupt, lawless. Those Laodicean ministers, they had a lot of hatred in their hearts, not just for Herbert Armstrong, but for God's law as well. They're lawless. Lawless evildoers, this tablet piece, but the conception of the demonic is not exclusively internal, a reflection of our own passions. It comes in different forms. Well, there it gets into a little bit of scholarly talk, but still, at least it's bringing up the subject. This is from Politico. They interviewed 10 experts about where this is leading, what we're seeing in our country right now, all of this politically motivated violence. Is America trapped in a cycle of political violence? It certainly feels like it. In the span of just over a year, the U.S. has seen assassination attempts, some successful, against President Donald Trump, lawmakers from Minnesota and their spouses, the CEO of United Health, and most recently, Charlie Kirk, a conservative activist and close Trump ally who was shot dead on Wednesday. These attacks seemingly know no political or geographical bounds. They happen to figures on their left and right. This is Politico. You know, just everybody's doing it. It's evenly. I mean, you listen to the guy in Congress, and he said, what? It's like 70% on the right causing this, and then only 4% on the left. Okay, got it. We'll just keep watching these atrocities play out on TV with our own eyes. They spent years. The dear leader's Department of Justice, if you could even call it that, spent years going after grandmothers for taking selfies, for taking a 10-minute stroll inside of Congress. Now Donald Trump has his DOJ in place. And let's hope that there's at least a little bit more about root causes or other connections. I mean, 33 hours into it, and we're all of a sudden we're absolutely certain that it was just one lone gunman, as usual. How is he connected? Who knew about it going in? What associations did he have with Black Lives Matter or Antifa, maybe? I mean, listen, they went after people taking selfies. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Just lumped them right in with a few bad apples that actually did commit acts of vandalism or whatever, but there was no murder that day. That didn't bother the dear leader's DOJ. I mean, throw them in jail. Get them behind bars. They're dangerous. They like people like Charlie Kirk, you see? No wonder there's people waking up to the fact that I think they've declared war on us, literally. They're getting their guns and shooting us. They're shooting up schools. They're shooting up places of worship. Listen to Bibi Netanyahu, as I say. He understands a thing or two about confronting evil. This is clip 5.
This is a worldwide problem. The people on the, you know, on the extremes, the Islamists, the radical Islamists, and their union with the ultra progressives, they often speak about human rights, they speak about free speech, but they use violence to try to take down their enemies, whether it's President Trump, who's yeah. been almost assassinated twice, or, you know, they try to kill me here too, but they got Charlie Kirk, and it's just heartbreaking.
They try to kill Bibi as well. And now they carried out the hit job on Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, newly married, 2 little kids. It is heartbreaking. Here's a bit more from Bibi, clip 6.
You see this more often in Israel than we do here in the United States. I mean, you just had a terrorist attack at a bus stop on September 8th. I mean, Israel has seen so much bloodshed from terrorist attacks. So, you know, I guess that you're in a particularly unique position to try to help us grieve, help us get through this.
But I think there's something else going on here. Look, the radical left, the ultra left, has joined forces with radical Islam. And they are constantly attacking our civilization. That's what Charlie understood. There's an attack on Western civilization. There's an attack on our common Judeo-Christian heritage. And when these people attack us, they try to silence us.
He sees the spiritual war. And Bibi says, you know, Charlie Kirk saw that too. How would the radical left actually align with radical Islam? This is an America Under Attack. I haven't mentioned this book in a while. Why in the world would an American president, speaking of the dear leader, Barack Obama, why would an American president align with these murderers? Why is there such a strong movement to align your political ideology with murderers, with criminals, with gangs, with illegals? It says here, and why implement a deal that virtually guarantees Iran becomes a nuclear power? This prophetic message in 2 Kings 14 explains, President Obama shares the goal to blot out the name of Israel. That was his goal from the beginning. I heard someone on Steve Bannon earlier today say that, you know, the Democrats don't have a real leader at the moment. I mean, that's Obama being silenced, as we told you he would be. But in any event, it says we need Obama's the closest thing that they have. And we've got to have Obama at least come forward and say, hey, enough with the fascist talk. Enough with the talk about Nazis and Hitler. Well, as you just heard in the montage earlier, there's not going to be not an ounce of humility or remorse or repentance. Because these people worship their opinions. They worship themselves. And by doing that, there's a strong worship of the devil himself. That's just the truth. That's the truth of your Bible. Heavy, heavy demonic influence. It says, and through his Iran nuclear deal, Barack Obama was helping them accomplish this goal. He was implying, you blot out the Jews, and we'll blot out America. We'll blot out the name of Israel from under heaven by transforming America into a socialist state its founders wouldn't recognize. He wants to destroy everything good in America because everything good in this nation traces back to God, the God of Israel. Here again, it's spiritual warfare. My father said, finally, spiritually, he wants to wipe out the faith of Israel, just like the Iranian mullahs want to wipe Israel off the map. They're kindred spirits. Kill all the Jews? Fine. Let's get rid of the conservatives while we're at it here in the States. And as I say, Mr. Hilliker touches on that in this morning's trumpet brief. Listen to my father. This was back during the summer of love. When Democrats, here again, they were taking to the streets and committing these horrific acts of violence. And how many Americans were murdered that summer? Wasn't it like 40 or 50? They were just murdering people. They were burning stores to the ground. They were looting them before they burned them. This was my father's Key of David program at that time, clip 11.
And we know we have people praying about these problems all the time. But are their prayers answered? Well, you certainly would want to question that, I think, if you look at what is happening. Burning cities today. Now, of course, we think when you look at the two sides politically, if we could view it that way, and this is not political, it's spiritual. But nevertheless, if you look at two parties fighting, let's say, a kind of civil war already, then is one of those parties going to win? No, they're not. Neither one of them is going to win. God says, there isn't going to be a winner. He's going to punish us his way, and that includes everybody in this nation. If we don't look at our sins, that is what your Bible says in over 100 prophecies.
In the end, everyone loses. When we drift this far from God, when there's this much sickness, when there's no repentance, eventually it kills us all. It kills nations. Now, as I say, in the spiritual sense, we're very familiar with this same spirit. And if you look at, as I've been discussing in class recently, if you look just at church history, and it was all prophesied there in Revelation 2 and 3, and this is one of the first things that the Laodiceans changed or blotted out. They said Revelation 2 and 3, it's just all history. I mean, nothing applies to today. When in fact, I mean, John said himself in Revelation 1 that what I'm about to give to you is for the future. It's prophecy. Yes, there were seven actual cities in Asia, you know, Ephesus, Smyrna, and so on. But these were seven successive eras of God's true church. And what happened to these eras? Well, just pick one, Sardis, for example. God says about the Sardis era that they died. They died spiritually because they didn't fight for the truth. They didn't stand up for the truth of God. They let it go. And then God raised up Herbert Armstrong and reached out, mercifully so, to give them the truth. And they rejected it. They rejected God's truth and they died. And then you have this incredible story of the Philadelphia era, a mustard seed beginning, but just fabulous growth. Fabulous growth that went for 50 some years. And all of those top ministers surrounding Mr. Armstrong, they despised it in the end, at least. They fought against it. They worked to destroy it. They wanted to blot it out. And then they were proud of it. I think when Joe Tkach Jr. wrote his book, Transformed by Truth, I think when he wrote that at 1997, he probably thought, well, this is the end of the story. Case closed. I mean, we successfully blotted out Herbert Armstrong's work. And right at that time, we came along and said, nope, I don't think so. We're going to start printing and distributing Mystery of the Ages. I was in my attic last night and I saw a box unopened, about the size of a book. And I thought, well, is this a video, an old video cassette, or is it a book? And I opened it up, and it was one of the preview copies that I got of Mystery of the Ages in January of 1997. And it had the original copyright notice, copyright Herbert W. Armstrong. That's all that we changed, because we knew it wasn't the Worldwide Church of God's book anymore. And so when we printed it, and that's what started the 6 years of litigation. And I look at that today, that book, that preview copy, and it fills you with, well, the right kind of pride. You've got to stand up for the truth. You've got to dispense the truth. You've got to give the truth to anyone who will receive it. Like my father has said, with a precious gift, this valuable, it must mean God wants us to give it to the world. And we did. And we did. I don't have time to get into it, but it is interesting to just consider the connection between Mystery of the Ages and all these anniversaries and what God has done through this work. And then the violence, the hatred, the murder, the unjust judgments, that's all in the book of Habakkuk. And it's all surrounding what God says there about Mystery of the Ages in Habakkuk 2 and verse 11. We saw violence, contention in the courts. And then you get to exposing the lawlessness and the violence. I mean, that's in Habakkuk 2 as well. And all of it just flowing around what God says about this magnificent book, Mystery of the Ages. My father says that verse. I don't have time to go through it. The beam, though, in Habakkuk 2 and verse 11. My father says it's one of the single greatest revelations God's given to his church. And we write about it in the New Throne of David. That's another book that you can add to your library. There are so many, so many. Start with Mystery of the Ages. You've got Mystery of the Ages in the Bible. That's a beautiful 1-2 punch, as I've said this week. But there's a lot more that you can add to your understanding as well, because that's just the way God is. If you come to God and you're hungry, if you're thirsting for the truth, He will satisfy that hunger. He will satisfy that thirst. That's all we have time for on today's show, because I want to leave a few extra minutes here at the end for this week's World Watch segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us this week. Thanks for joining us every day. And please join us next week as well. We'll see you then.
Russia and China conducted their first joint submarine patrol in the East China Sea recently, Russian state media announced on August 27th. Analysts say the exercise brings the two nations' military cooperation to new levels. The operation spanned several days and covered over 2,000 nautical miles. Russia and China began holding joint naval drills in 2021 and have conducted half a dozen more in the years since. This drill was the first to use submarines. It came days before China held its World War II 80th anniversary celebrations in Tiananmen Square on September 3rd, displaying soldiers, new technologies, and military aircraft. Russian President Vladimir Putin attended, calling Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping an old friend as the two oversaw the array of weaponry. Biblical prophecy says Russia and China will be the two major players in an end-time alliance called the Kings of the East. These war rehearsals show that this prophecy is moving toward fulfillment. To learn more, read Russia and China in Prophecy. Two gunmen killed 6 people and injured at least 14 at a bus stop in northern Jerusalem on September 8th. A security officer and an armed civilian returned fire and killed the two assailants. The two murderers were Palestinians from the West Bank. This is the first deadly mass shooting within Israel's borders since October 2024. The attack came after Hamas claimed it was ready to negotiate a new ceasefire with Israel and the U.S. Sources told Axios that U.S. diplomat Steve Witkoff sent a new proposal for a ceasefire deal to Hamas last week. This latest attack, combined with countries threatening to recognize a Palestinian state, means Israel is unlikely to agree to a deal. Bible prophecy says that tensions surrounding Jerusalem will increase and eventually affect the entire world. To learn more, read our free booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy. Japan's defense ministry requested $60.1 billion on August 29th for its upcoming fiscal year, starting in April 2026. This budget would set a new record for Japanese defense spending by $5 billion. The proposal represents Japan's 14th consecutive year of increased defense spending. The new budget places a heavy emphasis on unmanned asset defense capabilities. Japan also plans to incorporate its new Type 12 anti-ship missiles into its military by March 2026, 1 year earlier than planned. The trumpet and its precursor, the plain truth, have watched for Japan's military rise for decades. In the March 1971 plain truth, Herbert W. Armstrong wrote that Japan has become so powerful economically that it could build a military force of very great power very rapidly. 54 years later, this is exactly what is happening. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Japan's March Toward Militarism. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.